אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד כתבות מעניינות, היכנסו lsbs.com.au/hebrew.
We are joined today by Marianne Hoffman, the former executive editor of ILTV and former deputy CEO and news editor of the Jerusalem Post. Mayan is now a freelance journalist based in Israel, where her new book is about to be released, called Traumatech Nation. The book explores Israel's mental health challenges following the October 7th attacks, which have invariably sparked a wave of innovation, giving rise to a new ecosystem of entrepreneurs, clinicians, and technologists developing cutting-edge solutions for trauma recovery. It asks a compelling question: can a nation transform its deepest wounds into innovations that help heal not only itself, but the world? We'll soon find out. Mayan Hoffman, welcome to SBS Hebrew.
Thanks for hosting me.
Firstly, Mayan, can you please tell us about this new industry of trauma tech specifically to Israel, and what inspired you to tackle such a big and thorny subject like trauma?
For sure. So, I started thinking about this book actually more than a year ago. There was first an innovation mapping in what was called mental health technology space done here in Israel by a number of organizations working together, including the former Startup Nation Central, 8200, ECAR Collective, Bezel, which is an American-based organization. And they were showing in year one, the year right after the war had started, that there was already an influx of new companies forming in the mental health space. That got me thinking, well, that's interesting. You know, it's very typical of Israel. Innovation breeds, a crisis breeds innovation here. We've seen that in so many other, areas. And I started to think, I wonder if this is what's going to be in Israel. And as the time went on, we saw that that number of companies grew by more than 50% year on year. There was greater investment in the field. And today we have around 180 companies working in that space. You know, originally, as I said, they call it mental health technology. I coined this term trauma tech. But what it really means is that there's a lot of new innovation, new treatment protocols, ideas, and research going on between our universities, our NGOs, our technologists, as you mentioned, and entrepreneurs, thinking about how to develop a new industry that gives back not only to Israelis, but also to the crisis of depression, anxiety, PTSD worldwide.
Right. So tell us about some of these new technologies then, Mayan.
So it's really quite amazing. You know, you're working in a bunch of different areas. First of all, you know, we have the phrase that everybody is so familiar with today, which is artificial intelligence. And you're starting to see that integrate into many areas in the mental health technology space. It's not only in treatments, but it's actually also in triage, in intake, to be able to work faster. In Israel, there's close to a 6-month wait in order to be able to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist through the health fund. But it's not only in Israel, it's in France, it's in the UK, sometimes in the United States, certainly in Australia, it's even longer sometimes, according to the research that I did. And there are Israeli companies that are working to figure out how they can use AI and technology to make these processes shorter. So for example, there's a company called Mentally, whose product Leave is working already now a bit in the United States and throughout Israel, was approved by our health fund, where an avatar essentially does the initial intake. It's found from multiple clinical studies to be just as, if not more effective than the psychologist doing the intake. It saves time, it saves money. If the determination by the avatar is that they do need to see a psychiatrist, for example, instead of a therapist or somebody clinician, then that will be elevated. But the psychiatrist will already be armed with so much information that instead of seeing one patient in an hour, that psychiatrist can see four. You're also seeing it in areas like psychedelics, where there's new research happening in Israel, the first ever in the world, where two therapists are being assigned to 7 people with a similar story, group therapy for MDMA. Traditionally, it's 2 therapists to 1. That doesn't scale very well. It costs a lot of money. And here we're seeing something very different, and especially in the sense that the cohort has all been through the same trauma. So, for example, a group of soldiers, or example, a group of Nova survivors from certain kibbutzim in the south. And this could be something that could be widely exported abroad. We're also seeing tremendous impact when you talk about biomarkers and neurofeedback. So being able to physically diagnose PTSD as opposed to through these questionnaires, which of course are somewhat subjective. And you're seeing companies that are already on the market. And the last thing I would say is the concept of peer-to-peer networks. You know, sometimes it's just earlier intervention or having support. You actually don't need to go to a psychiatrist, which again has such a long waiting list, but you do need to have some kind of support to bring down your stress level. And there are different applications that are being used, invented here in Israel, that are building these networks for communities and people, some anonymous, some not, that are gaining tremendous traction and having tremendous positive results that we're seeing. Because everything here unique about Israel is that we don't just create technology, but the infrastructure, the ecosystem allows it to be tested, which means that we know that it's validated and viable before the investment happens and it goes out to the market.
Yeah, unfortunately, and you're already the guinea pigs because it necessitates that in this country where there's already an existential war. But Mayan, I'd like to know more about these avatars that you speak of in AI. Just how targeted are they?
I mean, I don't know what you mean necessarily by target. I mean, this is a general avatar. It started out as a woman, actually, particularly the woman who founded the company, Liev Eierstein. Liev has a number of different meanings behind it, including the Yiddish word for lion or strength, the name of her daughter. Anyway, she chose to make a woman avatar. The person comes on, they feel that that there's more empathy from the avatar sometimes than the actual clinician. The avatar will go through a series of questions which were prompted by the clinician. So it's not just like made up questions. These are clinically tested. What should the questions be for intake? The information is recorded and processed using AI. And then that person is able, they're able to determine where that person or what kind of treatment that person needs. And so, you know, they can make early diagnosis. Again, a clinician always gets involved. It doesn't replace a clinician. It basically puts the clinician on steroids because it arms that clinician with information. But it's really exactly as it sounds, an avatar that really just serves the role. You know, you log on to the computer and you talk to it.
Okay, so what you're saying is that these databases can work with the centralized healthcare system in Israel and give the clinicians information on the patients in advance and also triage the patients?
Yeah, I mean, so it's being used, for example, at Sheba Medical Center, where it is also where it was also invented. And when people come into intake, they can do this instead of going to an actual psychologist for the first step. You also have it happening with the Ministry of Defense. And by the way, I think that's one of the most important things that's happened in Israel is the rehabilitation unit of the Ministry of Defense, working together with the R&D unit, have tested dozens of new technologies, determined which ones would work best because the number of soldiers, of course, 65% of all soldiers who were wounded in the war are also struggling with some kind of mental health challenge. And so we need to move them through the system quicker because the longer you wait, the more likely they are to have longer term impacts from this. And so things like Liev are being used, but there's many other technologies as well as, for example, new protocols like the SGB, the ganglion block. This is a new technology, it's an injection into the ganglion in the nerve. And it's something that was first tested through the Ministry of Defense here in Israel. It's working wonders. There's something like gray matters, which is working in the brain, looking at biomarkers and helping you understand how to retrain your brain to move past trauma. Again, first approved through the Ministry of Defense.
You talk about plant-based assisted therapy in the book as well. At what point would AI refer someone to plant-based assisted therapy?
Well, psychedelic, I mean, I wouldn't say that AI is referring anybody to any particular kind of treatment. They're referring to what level of treatment. So, for example, you know, if there's a red flag, it's more like that. Like, for example, you come in, you do an intake and you're suicidal. That needs to be immediately red flagged and moved to something severe. It could be that their AI is saying, you know what, this person is suffering from mild depression, needs to join a community support group, can wait longer than somebody else to see somebody for medication, for example, or might not need it. But they're not referring it to a specific treatment. My understanding, I haven't seen any AI doing that. But in terms of psychedelics, you know, there's actually a couple of interesting studies going on, the one I mentioned, but also through two other organizations, they're doing something very fascinating, which is putting together a control arm using a somatic type therapy, while on the other arm, they're using the MDMA. And they're trying to see if it's the therapy or the drug that is actually enhancing the therapy, because there's a very specific protocol for MDMA therapy sessions. And that will take them a few years to get to the bottom of it. But that's important because, you know, obviously the less drugs you can put in your body, the better. And they want to see if it if there's a way to basically replicate the impact of MDMA without actually using it.
Wow, that's so fascinating. Mayan, is the demand outstripping the supply of qualified clinicians in Israel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just this country, it's the world. But certainly in Israel, we already had a deficit of clinicians even before the war started on October 7th. Mm-hmm. We spoke about it, you know, in the COVID-19 era. And then here comes October 7th, not so long after that. And the impact was tremendous. The comptroller did a study looking at what level of anxiety, depression, PTSD we're expecting in this country. And around 3 million of 10 million Israelis are tracking to have these kind of issues. Now, I do want to caveat that by saying, I mean, there's additional research, of course, showing very similar numbers. And at the same time, you have to remember that just because you have some of these symptoms doesn't mean that you have full-blown or chronic. And keeping in mind that something called post-traumatic growth, which is not the opposite of PTSD, but often runs alongside it, which is this ability to affect your life in a positive way as a result of a trauma, to grow from it, to want to give back to society, is something we see even more in Israel. It makes sense because we're a very resilient society. Again, resilience and trauma do not necessarily, you know, have to contradict each other. So we can be strong and powerful and give back and at the same time need to be treated. And that is really what we're seeing in the country. It's not just from the survivors of the kidnappings or the survivors of, you know, the soldiers or the reservists. It's really across the board in the country, people who experienced it firsthand, wives of the reservists that have gone through so many different challenges over the last few years. And a lot of these entrepreneurs, and this is what's really fascinating, were already in technology companies before, but as all of this started evolving, they said, well, now we want to do something more meaningful as a result of being in reserves, et cetera. It came together with people they met in the field, applied for grants, and have created these companies.
How could a country not implicated in war, say like Switzerland, have an interest in a subject like this? Or actually, let me rephrase that question. Is this theme exclusively written for people suffering from a war, or is it adaptable to an individual suffering as well?
It's adaptable to everybody. The World Health Organization is showing that depression is going to cost more than diabetes and cancer in Western world in the near future. And the truth of the matter is that if you look at the deaths by despair in the OECD countries, you'll see that Israel is actually one of the least. And countries like Switzerland or Sweden, where you would expect it to be better than Israel, are actually more. Unfortunately, isolation, social networks, loneliness have led to an epidemic of depression, anxiety, and other challenges worldwide. This is not a war problem. This isn't Ukraine and Israel. We, of course, are, as we talked about, are a living lab because we have so much of it per capita. But when you talk about absolute numbers, this is literally the next epidemic. If you want to think about COVID, this is what we're going to be dealing with now. And so what Israel is creating today are the tools that we're going to need today and also tomorrow for the rest of the world.
All right, my last question, Mayan. Did your research show, either anecdotally or through the data, that a full mental recovery is possible after war?
I don't think that you can define full mental recovery. I mean, I don't even know really what that means, right? I mentioned post-traumatic growth, and I think that that's really the key here. Okay, if around 20% of people develop post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, closer to 50% will generally develop PTG, post-traumatic growth. And we see that in Israel, actually through true academic studies. There's a professor, Yossi Belz, who actually had been tracking trauma, PTSD, and PTG in the country before the war started. Just by chance, a few months before, he had finished a baseline study. Then October 7th hit. And every 6 months thereafter, until what they call tranche six, or the six, you know, and that's about 2.5 years after the war started, he tracked this. And he saw that while the level of PTSD decreased, the level of PTG increased substantially. We know that that's something that takes time for people to understand the growth that they received from going through a difficult experience. And you can think about it when you think of the hostages, right? And that's the most extreme example. And again, it's really not just the hostages. But you heard of these stories of them coming out with more faith, feeling like their life was worth more, that they valued things differently, that they wanted to give back. And that's what we're seeing across the board here in Israeli society. It's quite astonishing. It'll be something, you know, to continue tracking as the years go by. But that's also, you know, something to think about for anybody who's gone through a tragedy. It could be something like the Banzai Massacre massacre and the people that experienced that trauma, or 9/11, you know, back in the days. There's unfortunately massacres and trauma everywhere. Israel, unfortunately, as I mentioned, is a living laboratory, but it's not the only place that experiences trauma. And these are lessons that we can show universally, are happening.
Mayan, I did say that that was my last question, but I have one more burning question and I'm going to shoot from the hip. Do you think that with this book promoting and even championing Israeli technology, that the naysayers and the people who actively campaign against Israel will abandon it, despite the theme being universally beneficial?
It's very possible, because we do know that a lot of writers and artists are being canceled simply for being pro-Israel or being Jewish even. I hope that that won't be the case. I do think when we start talking about technology, the one thing that is accepted across the board, that love Israel or hate Israel, our technology is pretty good. And many of my chapters focus on the different technologies and research that's coming out, and not just about the positive story of Israel. So I think people will be interested in the technology, but my call to people would be to read the book, because you know what, you can have whatever opinion you want about the state of Israel and the people of Israel, but in the end of the day, this is validated. I interviewed more than 100 people, and you really have some interesting information there. And I think, again, universally, we can learn from it. So I hope the anti-Semites won't cancel it, but I guess I can't tell till it comes out.
Well, I for one will surely be reading it. Mayan, thank you so much for joining us here on SBS.
Thank you so much.
סמנו לייק, שתפו והגיבו. עקבו אחרי SBS Hebrew בפייסבוק.